President Trump told Colorado Senator Cory Gardner on Friday that states should have the freedom to enforce marijuana laws. That contrasts with a Justice Department decision earlier this year. It gave prosecutors in the 9 states where marijuana is legal permission to pursue marijuana cases. Some of this regulatory uncertainty has put a crimp on a growing industry, one that's attracting big money. A business called Green Table links marijuana entrepreneurs with investors. Bill Marcus is partner at Green Table. He stopped by our studio to speak with Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd.
Bill, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, Peter.
How big is the pot industry today? How much money are we talking about?
Well, we're talking last year, I believe, close to $7 billion. And the growth rate is about 29% a year. It's an absolutely amazing growth rate. You know, it's one of the fastest growing industries in America.
So your idea is to then put investors into the same room as entrepreneurs, let them have dinner together, see if they can strike a deal. What kind of traction are you getting?
We're getting great traction. We only launched a year ago. We do it at beautiful locations or in states that are having critical opportunities, like, for example, July recreational here in Mass. That's what's attracted us here. We have institutional backgrounds in terms of capital markets. My partner, Greg Schreiber, and I have been working in capital markets our whole careers.
So, in other words, you're Wall Street guys.
We're Wall Street guys. That's right. And we noticed that there was an opportunity in the cannabis marketplace in terms of capital raising at the highest end, at the premium level, where people who have big checks to write, and we're talking about private equity funds, ultra-high net worth individuals, they are mostly – some of them are trying to avoid the press because there's still – at the federal level, this is an illegal substance. But many of them are getting involved across state lines, within state, and internationally.
Well, we're going to talk about the challenges that you face because of the fact that it is still illegal under federal law. But I just want to stick on this idea, and I hope this doesn't offend you, but you look like a Wall Street guy. You know, you don't look like I don't know if you smoke pot or not, but you don't look like it. You're wearing a nice jacket. You're trying to make the point that this is mainstream.
Yeah, I think that is exactly right because it is coming mainstream. And in a lot of circles, especially in financial markets now, it's a question of when, not if. And that's overwhelmingly reflected in the way Americans are being polled. And the dollars, the large dollars we're seeing, for example, in private equity, which is strictly related to cannabis, they started out with $5 and $10 million funds. We're now seeing $50 and $100 million funds just a year later coming to market. And that money is being doled out into larger and larger pieces, $5 and $10 million investments regularly. The biggest client we took on for a capital raise last year was raising $120 million.
So let's talk about where some of that money is going. Is this money going to help get a grow operation off the ground? Is it going to invest in new technology that entrepreneurs are trying to find some money for? What are we talking about here? Is it high end? Is it low end? Is it across the board?
You know, it's in our neck of the woods. It's mostly our purvey. It's across the board, but mostly high end. And that means, for example, genomics. You know, one of the speakers we have from Oregon, they are one of the leading companies that is taking the genomes of the different seeds, categorizing them almost like a Library of Congress to see which are the hardiest seeds, which ones show the most promise with Alzheimer's and schizophrenia and testing. And so these are scientists. So you have biosciences, and we also have multi-state cultivation operations where they're doing organic, where they're putting their footprint across all of their plants so there's consistency in dosing. We have packaging companies that are going public, not just in Canada but also in the United States, that are raising money just for branding and marketing, because at the end of the day, this is becoming a consumer product, just like your mainstream detergents and laundries and cereals. This is going to be something that's going to become a mainstream consumer product in the next several years.
It does look like it is slowly going that way. However, you said it. The federal government is not yet on board with this project of legalized marijuana. You have an attorney general who has repealed Obama-era policies that would encourage prosecutors to look the other way. I mean, why would an investor want to get involved right now with so much uncertainty around federal law?
That's a very good question, Peter. I mean, we can tell you that the result is that they are. And I think it's because, you know, with there's always the risk-reward opportunity, right? So while there's a gray area, while we were lucky that the coal memo was just extended now till September, and that's
the Obama-era policy.
Correct.
Yep.
And while you've got these higher risks, the rewards of that, the payoff on those risks is worthwhile in investors' minds.
But are you saying to me that investors don't have cold feet even a little bit when they hear the top law enforcement official of the United States making such an argument?
Fair enough, and that's correct. Some investors that are, what let's call it Wild West, very interested in all types of operations, touching the plant or not touching the plant. And that's one of the categories, you know, ancillary businesses that don't actually touch the plant where, you know, then you're getting into the federal territory.
Mm-hmm. Or, like what? Be specific there.
Growers, cultivators, dispensaries that are selling, all right? Those are touching the plant. Those are riskier businesses from the standpoint that you're talking the feds could come in, change rules, decide to prosecute. And so far, they've been hands off for the most part. Then there's the ancillary businesses. For example, the bottling or the labeling or the marketing. Those businesses are wishing a lot more appetite for because there's no risk of the feds coming in. Now, technically, the way that I understand it, and I'm not an expert, okay, we're involved in the capital raising business, but technically, if the money that's being used to pay for this touches the plant, there's a trail there that could invite prosecution, but it has not happened yet.
There is another red flag that I would have if I were a big investor putting my money on the line, is that why would I be interested in putting money into an industry that is so highly regulated, inconsistently regulated from state to state, and is subject in some cases to double-digit taxes? I mean, why does that make sense?
Because the returns are there. And that doesn't mean all of these operations are going to survive. You know, we're at the early stages still, obviously, in this industry, where even the cultivators and the dispensaries that are making money hand over fist right now have huge tax bills that they've got to have collected. And then there's price compression that is occurring with natural competition. This is particularly starting now in, obviously, Colorado and California. Between Colorado, California, and Washington, you have almost 56% of the North America business last year in those three states. And you're starting to see that price competition. So you're going to have weeding out. But there's still a huge amount of money being made in this industry. And it's evolving. And in some of those places, you have state banking and you have credit unions.
To get around the federal rules that don't allow marijuana money to go into
right,
a bank.
Right,
right.
And that's, you know, that's another whole area that we see a lot of investment concerns. But there's some of our key investors are trying to find a solution to that, you know, and invest in that because it's another opportunity. The banks that can eventually open up and take cannabis dollars are going to be very successful to have a natural flow.
There is a story out of the Sacramento Bee that is reporting California's pot revenue so far 50% lower than projected for commercial marijuana. And of course, the state just had retail shops open up in January. Why would that be? A concern to you?
It's not a concern to us because the investors that we work with are very sharp. They're very shrewd. They don't just throw money around. You know, these are very pedigreed individuals and institutions that know how to look at the risks like that, and they're factoring in those price compressions and maybe slower than anticipated growth rates. So, you know, that's one of the things that differentiates our company is we work with very smart investors and we put premium opportunities in front of them. So if we have a dinner with four companies presenting, we know that if we don't put something in front of them of quality, we'll lose their interest to get these investors who are flying in from all over the world. So they're very smart guys and they know how to recognize those values and risks. They've been doing this for years. They're not newbies.
That's Bill Marcus, a partner at Green Table at the networking business for the legal marijuana industry. Bill, thank you.
Peter, pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bill Marcus was speaking there with Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd. Let us know if you think marijuana is a good investment. Tell us at hereandnow.org.